Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. We've had some nice days out there. Sun's been shining. I think rain's coming, though. But it's Washington. That's what it's like here. I'd just like to open in prayer. We love you, God. Father, we come to you with thanksgiving and praise on our lips, Lord. We thank you for the grace that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we'll always be grateful for everything you do in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you let the Holy Spirit rain down upon our hearts, Lord, that we hear the message that you have to give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about the Spirit within us. God has planted eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, written by King Solomon, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into a man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We're all born, each of us, every man, woman, child of every tongue, every nation, everywhere in this world, with a deep inner longing, to comprehend the eternal purpose that God has for us. And it's like a yearning that we have. It's just part of what the Creator has, because it's Him that fills that place. And until people come to a place where they understand that, they'll pursue all kinds of things. Now, we hunger and thirst for God. And we find that through our relationship with Christ. It is something that each of us has a choice we have all made here. And if we haven't, it's a choice that someday you may. But it's the only, in that place is the only place that you will really truly find peace and truly find what God has for you. You know, our purpose is to come here and praise God. It's that is our purpose in life, is to praise our Creator, and He gives us everything we need through the Lord Jesus Christ to do so. Now, before that, so you have idols in your life. Before we know Christ, and it takes many forms. It could be money. It could be people. It could be hobbies. Just any pursuit. You know, your motorcycle could be your idol. Your car, many things get in between that try to replace God in our life, and it's just that yearning inside because we're built that way. It's not nothing we should be think that down on people for that. It's just part of what is in us, and until we find that, well, then we just don't know. So that void that God puts in our heart is there for a reason, because otherwise we would never seek Him. We would just think, okay, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, and we just go on. So that hunger, that gnawing that works in our soul is a good thing. It's again, how God's purposes is always good to God's purpose, even sometimes when bad things. So even if you was in the world and maybe something kind of heavy has fallen upon you, that could actually lead you to God. Because God turns all things to good, even the bad. So sometimes when we walk through things, a pastor was talking about that last week. So even when we walk through our lives and we come to storms where, hey, we feel like we can't get through this. And it's, it could be sickness. It could be worrying about someone that we love that's sick. Or what are my children doing? And, you know, we have to remember that in all things, God is going to work that to the good in our lives. So what I wanted to do was talk to you about John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're probably all really familiar with this. There happens to be the most famous verse ever, 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world, right? So, you know, so, we're probably very familiar with that. So what we find here is we find a man, Nicodemus, and he is the chief priest of the Sanhedrin. This man has lived his entire life. He's at the top of the heap. He's a accomplished man. Now, when we think about Pharisees, we tend to get a negative connotation goes through our heads, okay? But there were many good Pharisees, and Nicodemus was one of them. Now, he also had that yearning in his heart. Even though he had followed God's law to the nth degree, he was probably like the Apostle Paul. You know, what he said, he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. But yet within him was that yearning, because he didn't know the whole truth of, even though he followed the rules, he didn't know the whole truth of Jesus Christ, which of course is what all the scripture points to. Just as a side, so Matthew 6:33, I just wanted to put this in there. The scripture tells us that if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all other things will be added to us. So understand that there's in life when we're walking, okay, so if we're unsaved and we're walking through life, we're under condemnation. And that condemnation, because Adam, the original Adam, ate from the tree of knowledge of life and death, that condemns us. And until Christ comes to live in our heart, we're basically walking dead. We really need to cross from death into life. And there's only one way to do it, through the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you're beginning to come to know God, or whether you're a seasoned Christian, whether you're a person that has, you could be a person in ministry, you could be a person that teaches and everything, until you come to know. I mean, because there's people out there that actually go to churches that probably, maybe they're not a biblical church. Maybe they don't really understand the truth. Some people I always hammer on this, some people are embroiled in legalism, you know, and they're not where God would have them be, to where they can be used. I mean, we all want to do what God has for us, our purpose. Besides praising Him, you know, we're here to uplift the body and to help each other and to support each other in all things. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek after me with all your heart." And I think that's just a beautiful verse. It's true. You know, God knows when we come, when we're coming to Him and we want to know the truth, and it's really in our heart, we sincerely want to know, He'll give it to us. If He knows, if we're just playing with the idea, then we probably aren't going to get much out of it. So when we place God first in our life, we see Him working through all circumstances. And I mean all. You can see, this week I was looking at my finances and I had just paid a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm looking at my finances and I go, man, it's almost like I didn't even pay for all that stuff, right? So in a sense, God works. How He does it, of course He can do anything. He's a miracle worker. But he does watch out for us and take care of us and in our lives. So we are to pursue the things of God as a priority over things in the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have to go out there and earn a living, because the Bible also tells us to go out there and be profitable. The Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I don't think that he meant it totally that, but he's just trying to tell you that you should be a person that pursues a career of some sort and do good in this world, because there's other people depending on you. I mean, that's all part of ministry too, is to support your family, take care of your children, make sure that your spouse is protected and has food and a place to live, and even down to your little doggies in the house. You know, you're obligated to take care of them too. So God's salvation is of greater value than all of the world's riches. There's nothing you can gain in this world that is greater than the salvation that we have been given. And to me, I look at the things of this world, and yes, there's things that I would like. You know, I'd like to have that 1970 El Camino with the 396. Right. But is that really what I need? And that's how God sees it. Does this guy need that? And I think he's happier when I'm serving him, and when I'm serving others, because that's what our job is. Pastors, elders, we serve others, and actually all of us serve others. Right? It's part of who we are. That's what makes our belief so beautiful. So John 3:12. I'm going to read 1 through 2. I'm going to go maybe 3. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." Amazing. All right, here was an uneducated carpenter. Uneducated in their idea. Here was that came from very humble beginnings, poor, and yet the leader of the Sanhedrin knew that, Nicodemus. He knew that he was of God because he had seen the miracles. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Okay, so I'm going to hold right there. Jesus saw the question that was in the heart of Nicodemus before he asked it. Right? He read him and he knew because, well, he is God, right? But and so basically what you had here when you have a discussion between Nicodemus and Christ is you're sitting down, you're having a discussion between God and man. And what a representative we had. Nicodemus was a very moral man. He was a very religious man. He was a great spiritual leader. His name was on everyone's lips. I mean, the common people, he was respected. I mean, he sat over 71 other Pharisees in the Sanhedrin, which is probably about as much seats as we have here. And they all respected his intellect and his knowledge. I mean, he had come through the ranks to be at the top. But you know, the most important thing about Nicodemus, he was a man searching for the truth through it all. And this also, this story, in this here, in John's gospel, it reinforces what John was trying to convey in this gospel about how Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. So now we speak of born again. Now I'm going to do a... we speak of being born again. Well, literally, born again means born from above. I really didn't know that. I kind of knew what they meant, but it means born from above. And Jesus, it speaks of the need for spiritual transformation or regeneration that's only produced by the Holy Spirit. This new birth is an act of God. It comes from Him. It's His grace. It's undeserved grace. You know, it's really hard with glasses. You can take them off, put them on. But the eternal life is imparted to the believer by an act of God. And that's it. That's how it's done. So now I'm going to go on. Jesus answered. How? Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water, of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I put a little thing about here, born of the Spirit. So in this, Jesus was referring to the spiritual washing and purification by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and Christ Jesus. I put down Titus 3, 4 through 7 to kind of back this up. It says, but when, that's Titus 3, 4 through 7, but when the kindness and the love of God of our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs to the living hope of eternal life. Wow. I mean, we serve a mighty God. In life, people look to things. They look to athletes. They look to actors. They look to all these things that, wow, I want to be like that. If I could only be like that. You know, if I could only be the Brad Pitt. If I could only be the, right? If I could only be this guy that does such fantastic music. You know, maybe he's a Christian music guy, right? I mean, people look up to people. But I think they would find that if they actually live that person's life, I'm kind of referring more to the unsaved here, the unsaved people that are still, you know, these famous people, they would find that these people, when they get to the top, they find that there's nothing there. Even Solomon. Solomon, if you read about him, you know, he had separated himself from God. He started worshiping the idols with his, he had many wives and concubines, and that, of course, that was one of the things that God was so adamant about letting his people mix, because he knew they would be led astray. In the time of Joshua, even back then, they were, he had fallen to that, and he had found himself separated from God, and even though we know that Solomon will be in heaven when we get there, he struggled in his life. He was struggling at the end, and he said everything is meaningless, basically. He was saying that, you know, it's all vanity, right? Which means meaningless. He came to the conclusion that everything was just meaningless. That he would gain. It didn't matter. He was a man of great power. He had more money than he could spend. He had everything. There was nothing that this man didn't have. Yet he came to understand that without God, he had nothing. So people attempt to fill their lives with all kinds of pursuits. You got alcohol. They may go into drugs. And some even ends up killing them, right? We read about it all the time. Rich, successful people, the things that they pursue, their lifestyle that they pursue, ends up taking their lives. So, Charles Spurgeon, I have a quote by him. I really like Charles Spurgeon. I think he's just quite the guy. He says, "Whatever a man depends on, whatever rules his mind, whatever governs his affections, whatever is the chief object of his delight is his God." So you could see where people that don't have the Spirit within them will do that. So from the time of creation, when God first set Adam in the Garden of Eden and then drew Eve from his rib, right? I mean, they were sustained and carried by the Spirit of God that was within them. They and yes, they fell. Okay? Eve ate of the fruit, brought it of the tree, of the fruit, brought it to Adam. Adam ate of it. Adam should have defended his wife. He didn't. You can't say he wasn't there, that he didn't know, right? Yet he, right? There's a lesson in that for us as Christian men, that we need to be, we need to stand up when the time needs to stand up. You know, and it's, I'm not saying anything against the ladies, okay? Right? It's, I'm just saying that it doesn't matter. If one of us is stumbling, you stand up, right? I mean, we protect each other. That's how it works. But it's always been the Spirit within that is protected. It's the same with us. So we see all through the scriptures, we kind of see the evidence of God's hand in pretty much everything. And, you know, we look at all these different people that, you know, Samson, you know, Abraham. We look at all their lives. We see how they lived their life and what the fruit of their actions was. You know, Samson was a womanizer. Abraham actually, his fathers worshiped idols. He was, you know, all of these things are lessons for us to see where we look and we go, oh, okay, well, maybe we should not do that. You know, maybe that should not be the way we go. You know, it's pretty simple, really. So without God's Spirit, you know, we'll never know the joy. We'll never know the peace that surpasses all understanding that we're promised. But, you know, take heart. It's there. All you have to do is reach out and take it. It's just very simple, very easy. Jesus Christ, you know, it's the gospel. It's something that pretty much all of us, if not all of us, have done and made the choice and chose to accept Christ into our heart and asked him into our heart. I'm going to close now with, I didn't realize I was so late. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to close with the words of Joshua, you know, the great warrior that led the people into the promised land when Moses died. He gathered all the tribes to Shechem and reminded them of what the Lord their God had done for them, how he had led them out of captivity, how he had protected them the entire time, how he had defended them in their battles against the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and all the ites. And there he stood in the twilight of his years. He knew that he was about to die. He was 110 years old. And he reminded them of what God wanted him to do. And so I'm going to read from Joshua. That's be Joshua 24:14. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites." The Amorites they use as a general term as for heathens or pagans, "in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Okay? So that's the kind of power we got to believe in. God would help. Lord, thank you, Father. Father, we just ask that you fill every need of the persons here. Lord, give us a good week this week. And Father, thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.